Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Tes Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the beginning of the second perek. You'll notice that in the middle of daf tes vav. Before we begin, we glance at the side. We have a no say, a topic heading, which reads Shliach Hamevi Get Mi Medinas Hayam. An agent who brings a get from a man who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, and he is bringing it to the wife that is going to be divorced, Umeid, and he testifies, as we learned extensively in the first perek. However, Avolo benusach harogil b'fonai nechtav u'b'fonai nechtam, but he doesn't use the standard phrasing, the standard statement that a shliach is to make, b'fonai nechtav u'b'fonai nechtam. So now we, of course, are continue with the Gemara based on all of that which we have learned already in the first perek. So the Mishnah, Hamevi get mi medina sayam vi omar b'fonai nechtav avolo b'fonai nechtam. B'fonai nechtam. Avalo b'fonai nechtav. B'fonai nechtav kulo, u'b'fonai nechtam chetzio. B'fonai nechtav chetzio, u'b'fonai nechtam kulo. Four different possibilities of what a shliach might say, would say incorrectly, and the result of any one of these is puzzle. The get will not be acceptable. You'll notice that we have a little star on the side of the Gemara, and we indicated these are four mikrim, four cases, shashliach hu levad, v'eino me'id, kamo shitzorach, b'fonei nechta, b'fonei nechtam. In each one of these four cases, the agent is alone. We go on to another case, and the numbering that you see in the Mishnah will be helpful when we get into the Gemara. We'll make reference to these numbers. So we have a fifth case, however, this is different in so far as you have here two people. Echod oimer b'fonai nechtav, v'echod oimer b'fonai nechtam, posel. We look at Rashi, echod oimer b'fonai nechtav, v'echod oimer v'chulei, posel. I kishaget yoytze mitachas yedei ho'echod, shuhu mevio v'ein chaveru shaliach b'avoso. If, in this case, only one was appointed the agent for conveying the get, and the other one is not an agent in its conveyance. Mishum hachi posel. Well, that's the reason that the Mishnah rules posel, de l'shaliach atzruchua rabbonon l'mimrinu l'travayu. The agent is the one that is supposed to say both phrases, b'fonai nechtav and b'fonai nechtam, not like we saw in the Mishnah. Ulaman demuki lo nami b'gemora b'shishneim shluchim. Later in the Gemara, it's going to be explained that, according to a certain opinion, this case involves the two of them were appointed to be the emissaries, the agents. Afilohachi posel, even though both are agents, the conveyance of the get is not acceptable. Kevon dechad hu diiko achasimo, because as far as the testimony concerning the signatures in the get, you only have one saying, b'fonai nechtam. And v'ihu lo masir aksiva, and he is not saying a word about the writing of the body of the get. And as a result of that, what do you have then? You have one person, we'll say, verifying the signatures. Asi l'chlufi b'kim shtoris te'almo b'eidecha. People will think that in general, signature verification can be accomplished through one witness. That's not true. Signature verification in general requires two witnesses. In the case of a get, so we had a special, we'll say a special allowance for the, as we learned, of course, in the first perek, but so as to not confuse this, we'll call it the divorce signature verification with general signature verification, the agent says b'fonai nichtav as well. That helps to put us on notice that this allowance of a singular witness for signature verification is unique to the case of get, the divorce document. But if the statement concerning the signatures is made by the agent, and he doesn't, and that very agent doesn't also say b'fonai nechtav, it can be confused with signature verification in all kinds of documents that one would be sufficient. And as we said, that would be insufficient. So we don't want to, we're not going to accept where one says b'fonai nechtav and the other says b'fonai nechtav, even though both parties were appointed agents for delivery of the get. Shnayim, we continue in the Mishnah. Shnayim oimrim b'fonenu nechtav, v'echad oimrim b'fonai nechtam. Posel, v'Rabbi Yehuda, machshir. In this section of the Mishnah, you have, there are three people. We haven't explained who they are, how many are actually the official appointed agents for conveying the get, but you have three people. Two of them are saying that the writing of the get was done in our presence, and the third party is saying it was signed in front of me. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's okay. Now, why does Rabbi Yehuda say this is okay? So we look in the Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda machshir de kevon de matzrochinon lasudei nami aksiva ohu o achir. Since there is a necessity to have testimony concerning the writing, the ksiva, the body of the get, whether it be the agent or someone else. Su lo osi lechlufi. Oh, so as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, I'm not going to confuse the case of the get signature verification with general signature verifications. Uva Gemara Amrinon, in the Gemara, it's pointed out, the Cholukoye Rabbi Yehuda Afbo Rishona, Aechad Oimer B'fonei Nechtam, Aechad Oimer B'fonei Nechtam. Rabbi Yehuda is Machshir here. He would have been Machshir also in case 5. And just to repeat, why? Because once you have in the scenario someone commenting on the ksiva, even if it's not the actual agent, that's sufficient to show or to set this apart from other cases of signature verification. So I won't confuse this case where I am allowing one for that purpose with other cases where we don't allow one. You need two witnesses in general. Another case, Echol Oimer Befonai Nechtav, Ushraim Oimer Befoneinu Nechtam, Kosher. Rashi points out, this will be explained in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Hasu Lomali, what does this Mishnah reveal that I don't know already? Ha Tono Lechado Zimna, this was taught already. Hamevi Get Minas Hayam, Tzorch Shiomar Befonai Nechtav, Ufonai Nechtam. We learned at the very beginning of our Masichta, the first Mishnah of Gittin said that an agent who brings a get from abroad, he has to say, b'fonai nefonai nechtam. The assumption being, if he doesn't say that, so the get is no good. And in our Mishnah, we saw all these cases where he did not say, b'fonai nefonai nechtam. The Gemara answers, e me'ahi, had I had just the first Mishnah of the Masechta, Have Amino, I would have thought, Tzorich, the Shliach is expected to say, Befonai Nechtav, Befonai Nechtav, Vilo Omar, and if he doesn't say it, Kosher, the get is still acceptable. Komash Malon, that is where our Mishnah comes in to say, not so. If the agent doesn't follow the rules as is dictated to agents, the get is not acceptable. Befonai nechtav chetzioi, ubefonai nechtam kulo. Puzzle. If you need to find where this is a quote, you just use your arrow and you see it's a case. It's a case in the Mishnah where case four of the Mishnah, where one where the agent says half was written in my presence and the entire signing took place in my presence. That's no good. Well, hey chetzio, which half? And here we have a double underline marking highlighting the expressions ilema and elo. And on the side, we've noted shlavei birur. And the result being puzzle, which half? So, Ilema, the Gemara, continues, and in response to the question of which half was written in front of the agent, Ilema chetzio rishon. If this is a reference to the first half of the get, if even the first line alone was written with the specific couple in mind, because in the first line of the get, you have his name, her name, and the date. We'll say the core information of the get. So Rabbi Elazar says that if even the first line can be testified as having been written lishma, written with the couple, this specific couple in mind, shuv eino tzorch, you don't need any further testimony. Elo omar ravashi, chetzio achron. The lacking in the case of the Mishnah of in front of me a half was written, it's because it's the second half, it's not that first critical line. And hence you don't have you don't have sufficient information concerning the get having been written lishma with proper intent. Befonai nechtav kulo, befonai nechtam chetzio posel. Before we go further in the Gemara, on the side we have our no say slash mivne heading. By the way, if you need to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. You'll notice there are triangles that appear in the Gemara. These are Gimel Deos Ma Ne'emar Al HaChasima HaShnia. What was said regarding the second signature in the get? B'mikresh HaShaliach Omar B'fonai Nechtav Kula U'B'fonai Nechtam Chetzio, where the agent himself says the entire body of the get was written in front of me, which means it was written Lishma, and in front of me, I saw one of the signatures being signed. So he can verify one of the signatures. What about the other signature? Omar of Chista. I should point out, as we mentioned, there are three deos to explain this phrase. And these deos are going to be painting a scenario of a get that will be puzzle. As each opinion is presented, it's going to then be challenged by the subsequent opinion. And the challenge is basically, how can you say that what you say is an example of psul, of disqualification, when really it should not be disqualified? So the sugya builds up in that direction. So if Chista says you want to know what is unfit regarding this case of Befonai Nechtav Kulo, Befonai Nechtam Chetzio, he's Omar Rav Chista, Afilu Shnayim Me'idim Al Chasimas Yad Sheni, Posel. After the agent says the entire get was written in my presence and one signature as well, even if you have two witnesses verifying the second signature, Rav Chista says the get will be unacceptable. My timo. Answer. Why? You know, why is that no good? O kulo b'kiyum haget, o kulo b'takonas chachamim. It's either or, not a combination. What Rav Chista described was a case where you're combining the agent's testimony on one signature. You have one person testifying, that is a takonas chacham. That's not standard testimony. But in the case of get, we have this allowance. So we have, with regard to one signature, you have what's called takonas hachamim, rabbinic allowance. With regard to the second signature, you have standard kiyum hashtar, kiyum haget, signature verification. That is, as the Gemara calls that, kiyum haget. So when you have the two signatures, you're dealing with the two signatures in a split fashion. One you're verifying through takonas hachamim, and the other you're verifying through standard court procedure. Two witnesses that testify. And that, as far as Rav Chisda is concerned, the Mishnah is telling us, is not acceptable. Maskif lo Rava. Rava says, how can you say that? How can you say that that case, that scenario be unacceptable? Mi iko miti. Is there anything? The ilu omar had kosher. Had one person, i.e. the agent, testified about the second signature as well, that would be okay. Hashtodiko tre puzzle. Now that you have two witnesses testifying about the second signature, that's not going to be good. Two witnesses are a very strong legal institution. How can it be that a weaker phenomenon is going to be acceptable, and the stronger phenomenon would be the basis of a rejection? Elo Omar Rava. So Rava has to explain the Mishnah and present to us a scenario that would be disqualified, to be unacceptable. As far as Rava is concerned, the scene that Rav Chisda painted wouldn't be something that we would disqualify. So Rava says, Elo Omar Rava Afilu. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Who v'acher mi'idem al chasimas yad sheni posel. Regarding that second signature, even if the agent himself plus someone else from the market, from the public, came and testified concerning that second signature, that would be unacceptable. My time off. Why? Asu lechlufi b'kiyum shtaros de'alma. We would think that this procedure would be an acceptable procedure with signature verification in contracts in general. The konofik, and the result would be, if we would replicate this scenario where you have two signatures regarding one signature, so the agent says, I recognize that signature. Regarding the second signature, agent himself plus someone else verifies that second signature. If we would accept that, people would say, well, in general, you could have a document that has two witnesses that signed it. One witness comes along and says, that's my signature. That's, by the way, a legitimate way of signature verification. Regarding the second signature, you might have a situation where the witness, that's the second witness that signed the contract, he died. However, the other signer that just testified about his own signature happens to recognize that second signature as being legitimate. However, you need two witnesses on that second signature. The signer will say, oh yeah, that's my friend's signature. He plus someone else will testify concerning that second signature. Now, after all said and done, as far as, we'll say, testimony power is concerned, regarding the two signatures, the first signature, the signer himself said, that's mine. That's 50% of the signature. That's 50% of the strength of the document. The second signature is being verified by the signer that remained alive, who already testified about his own signature. He is going to testify about the deceased's signature, plus someone else from the shuk. So you have two witnesses on the second signature. The problem is that you have one person responsible for 3/4 of the power of the document. One signatory took care of, namely his own, that's 50%. The second signature, he and someone else are combining to verify it. But there you go, there's another 25% of the document power is being verified by the same guy. And that's what the Gemara means when it says here, v'konofik, on the third line from the top, if you can have one guy testifying about both signatures, albeit the second signature joins up with someone else, you have the konofik nechi riva de mamona. That phrase means minus one quarter of the money represented by the dot by the contract, apuma de chatzada. What do you mean minus one quarter? It means 3/4 of the document power is being verified by one man, and the pasuk would seem to indicate that the pasuk that says al pishnayim oshlosha edim, al pishnayim edim yakum davar, two witnesses establish the facts, giving us the impression that 50% of the power is vested in one witness and the other 50% vested in the other witness. You can't have one witness being responsible for more than 50% of the contents of the document. We say contents of document as is represented by verifying the signatures that give veracity to the document itself. So as far as Rava is concerned, when we have a shliach saying "Befonai nechtav kulo, befonai nechtam chetzio," and we ask what is the story with the second signature, so Rava tells you what would be unacceptable is if the second signature is being testified by the shliach himself plus someone else from the shuk. Maskif lo Ravashi. Ravashi has difficulty with Rava's explanation of something that would not be acceptable. Mi iko midi, could you have anything? De ilu masik le ihu le kule dibura. Had the agent himself finished off everything by himself, kosher, that would have been okay. If the shliach would have said, if the agent would have said, befonai nechtav, in front of me the whole document was written, o befonai nechtam, and in front of me both signatories signed, that would be okay. That's standard procedure. Hashtadiko chad bahadei posel. Now that we add someone to the agent in his testimony concerning the second signature, that's going to ruin things? Elo omar Ravashi. So Ravashi, in looking at Rava's scenarios, Ravashi says that couldn't be rejected. That couldn't be disqualified. So what is? So Ravashi says, afilu omer ani hu aid sheni posel. Where the agent is saying, regarding the get, he says, befonai nechtav kulo, the entire get was written in my presence, i.e., it was written lishmo, and befonai nechtam chetzio, and one signature that you see there, that was signed in my presence, meaning I know that signature is not a forgery, and the second signature, that's my signature. Ravashi says, a case like that would be puzzle, my taimo. Why is that not acceptable? Answer, o kulo b'kiyum haget, o kulo b'takonas chachomen. Kiyum haget, we referred to this earlier, kiyum shtoros. Kiyum shtoros, verification of signatures, one way, called the classic way of kiyum shtoros is where the witnesses that signed, each one comes forward and says, that's my signature. That's kiyum haget. In this case, what took place? Well, with regard to one signature, you have the agent functioning as an agent in accordance with the takonas chachamim, the rabbinic provision that allows an agent to testify befonai nechtav u befonai nechtam. However, in this case, he is saying befonai nechtam only with regard to one signature, and with regard to the other signature, he's saying that's my signature. That, as far as Ravashi is concerned, is considered no good because you're mixing two methods, and that's not the way things were designed to operate. When the Chachamim instituted the special provision for an agent to be the source of document verification, it would have to be the whole way through. We continue. The Gemara raises a question. Up till now, then, we've seen three explanations of a section of the Mishnah which describes something that's disqualified, that's no good, that's puzzle. This question, we note that it's a long question. At the end of this question, the Gemara is going to attempt to say that that which Rav Chisda claimed was no good, that can't be. That is good. Rav Chisda represented what we call a Chiddush Gadol, a very, very far-reaching, say, novelty, point of novelty. Rav Chisda went very far, where he was going to disqualify a case where you had two outside witnesses on the second signature. Before we continue in the Gemara text, we have a presentation of the tactic of the Gemara. In the margin, we've called this a taktsir, a type of summary. Hakushya al Rav Chisda. This long question essentially is going to be a question on Rav Chisda. Miyitur loshon ha-mishnah. From what appears to be extra words in the Mishnah, extra phrase in the Mishnah. Efshar lilmod chidush mu'at. We have a right to say that the Mishnah, by adding words, is revealing to us a point of novelty. However, when you learn a point of novelty, it can't be, in other words, if you have a choice to learn something that has a moderate level of chidush, of novelty to it, versus something that is an overwhelming, an incredible, an extensive, far-reaching point of novelty, we would always choose to learn the lesser chiddush. It's maybe in accordance with the idea of tofasta meruba lo tofasta. If you go for too much, you end up with nothing. Or as the common saying goes, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. So that we have an extra phrase in the Mishnah, and that will allow us to learn a chiddush, but a chiddush mu'at, not a chiddush gadol, not something that's too novel. V'hod Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda's point relative to Rava and Rav Ashi that we saw in the sukkah, that Rav Chisda had said that Shishnei Eidim Me'idim Al Chasimu Shnia Lo Mitztarev, that even if you have two witnesses concerning the second signature, they don't join up with the agent and his testimony on the first signature. Nechshav chidush gadol. That's considered a too far-reaching point of novelty to claim that would be unacceptable. So that's essentially the gist of the question. Namely, that the Mishnah makes reference through a yitur loshon, something that seems extra, allowing me to derive, something that's not stated explicitly in the Mishnah. But whatever you're going to derive from that, it can't be too far-reaching. And Rav Chisda represents something that's too far-reaching. Hence, the question on Rav Chisda. How can he say that the case of the Mishnah would disqualify what he said? The note on the side goes on to say, Tshuvas Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda will answer, Ein yitur loshon b'mishnah shebo lelamed chidushim. The Mishnah is not to be viewed as having extra phrases that are there to present novel points. Elo shesignon ha-Mishnah, the style of the Mishnah, in its teaching of seemingly superfluous information, is a legitimate Tanaic style. It's called lo zu af zu. Not only this is considered unfit, But even this, Memela ein anu mugbolim ayidei loshen haMishna lumoid rak chidushim tanim. Therefore, since we're deriving a chidush, but not based on extra words of the Mishnah, but rather we're here to interpret that which the Mishnah it says itself, we're therefore not restricted in how far we can go. This idea of being restricted to a lesser chiddush as opposed to a greater chiddush is a restriction only when you're deriving your chiddush from an extra phrase. But if that's not what we're doing, we're claiming there are no extra phrases in the Mishnah per se, therefore you're not limited to a minor type chiddush. Now the Gemara. Tanan. You notice we have a little number. This is simply a handy reference to refer back to the Mishnah where this appeared. This was what we called case 3. Befonai nechtav kulo, befonai nechtam chetzio posel. So we saw that if the agent says, I saw the writing of the get, I can tell you that it was done lishma, and I saw half of the signatures, and I can tell you that there was no forgery regarding one of the signatures. Well, that's not acceptable. Ido chetzio hechidomi. What about that second signature? E lema, this double underlining that you see is basically highlighting the stages of analysis. So, e lema deleka dekomasid ole klal. If you're going to say that there's no one testifying whatsoever about the second signature, well, that can't be the pshat. Hashta, mind you, case 5 of the Mishnah. Echad oimer befonai nechtav. Yechad oimer befonai nechtam. The Mishnah said that that's posel. Dehai komasit akulu ksiva. Here we have a case of one testifying about all of the writing. Vahai komasit akulu chasimo. And the other one testifying about all of the signing. Both signatures. Posel. Chetzio mibaya. What we have termed as case 3 to tell me that that's puzzle. Of course that's puzzle. And case 3, according to the Elema, according to this suggestion, is there's no testimony at all about the second signature. So that can't be the explanation. Elo, so what are we to make of case 3? What is it referring to? What happened with regard to the second signature? Well, Ela oy kidrava oy kidravashi. It's either like Rava explained, where the agent testified about one signature, and regarding the second signature, the agent and someone else from the shuk testified. Or, like Ravashi explained, with regard to the second signature, well, it was where the agent said, I am the one that signed that second signature. Those will be cases that we can say are puzzle. Ulafuke midrav Chisda, to the exclusion of claiming that which Rav Chisda said would be puzzle. Not true. That which Rav Chisda tried to describe, namely that on the second signature you had two formal witnesses, that would be kosher. Because to claim that is puzzle is too much of a chiddush. It's too far reaching. That is our question on Rav Chisda. Omar loch Rav Chisda. Uletamech, according to you. Meaning the way that you presented the Mishnah, you forced an explanation of case 3 regarding Chetzio Pasul by saying you have to explain it like either Rava or Ravashi, because otherwise, if you're going to say that there was no testimony whatsoever on the second signature, you've got an extra phrase here that doesn't have any purpose, because case 5 in the Mishnah would have made case 3 totally superfluous. Okay, well, according to your way of learning the Mishnah, namely that you can't have a section of the Mishnah that would be called totally superfluous. Let's check it out. Let's check out the Mishnah further. Case 1. What did it say? Befonai nechtav avolo befonai nechtam. Lomali. Here, the shliach is saying, I witnessed the writing, but none of the signing. Wow. That, do I need to tell you that that's puzzle? That's so obviously puzzle. So what's this phrase doing in the Mishnah? The answer is, Ella, the style of the Mishnah is as follows. Lo zu, af zu katani. Not only is this puzzle, namely case one, but even the subsequent cases are puzzle. So, hachanami, so too with regard to section 3 of the Mishnah, lo zu, not only case 3 where you have only one signature being covered and the other nothing, af zu, even what you see in case 5, even that is puzzle. That's lo zu, af zu kotani. Now, when you have this structure, this kind of Mishnah structure, therefore, you don't have what we call a Mishnah Yesera. It's not a function here of an extra phrase. And since you don't have an extra phrase in the Mishnah from which to derive a Chiddush, but rather all we're doing is explaining what happened with regard to the second signature. So Rav Chisda is not restricted, and he can say that even in a case when you have the second signature being testified by two kosher witnesses, even that is no good. Before continuing in the Gemara, on the side we have a Nosei / Mivne heading. A new marking appears, a house shape. And the note reads, Agav Shishoninu Liel, Okulo Bekium, Okulo Betakonas Chachomim. In a, we'll say, by the way fashion. We mentioned before that the way the get is verified has to be uniform, either completely through Kiyum Hashtar, or completely, exclusively through the Takonas Chacham, the special allowance granted to an agent to say Befonai Nechfonai Nechtam. But mixing things, that would not be acceptable. Muva Old Sugyus Be'inyan Tziruv Chatzoyim. We're going to see more topics that are just totally unrelated to divorce documents or contracts, but the common denominator is this idea of combining two halves. One, it concerns Mechitzas Shabbos. What is Mechitzas Shabbos? In order to establish a private domain, you have to have a fenced-in area, and the fence measuring 10 tfochim in height. There are many, many details to the topic that we're mentioning now. There's an entire tractate called Maseches Shabbos dedicated to the details of the laws of Shabbos. So, in the context of our Daf Yomi Shir here in Maseches Gittin, we're leaving out a great amount of detail, but we're going to say enough just to make the point concerning the issue of a mechitza of Shabbos. So, as we said, an enclosed area of 10 tfochim, that is called a basic reshus hayochel, a basic private domain. Another situation that also would constitute a basic private domain is if, let us say, you were on a mound, and the height of the mound from top till ground level were 10 tfochim, so that you're not surrounded by a fence of 10 tfochim, but you are elevated on a platform, on a mound, whose height is 10 tefachim. That is also a definer of a private domain. The Gemara will ask, and by the way, that phenomenon of being elevated and a drop of 10 tefachim, the drop, that's called, in this Gemara, is called gidud. Let us say you were on a mound, but the height of the mound was 5 tefachim. In addition to the 5 tefachim height of the mound, a fence around the edges of the mound, measuring 5 tefachim, was built. Do we say that we combine the 5 tefachim of drop of height of the mound plus 5 tefachim of the fence to equal 10 tefachim of Mechitza Shabbos? Would that be considered a private domain? What have we done? We've presented a case of combining Gidud with Mechitza. Now, let's see the Gemara. The second topic we've mentioned here is Taharas Yadayim. We'll wait till we get to that in the Gemara. The Gemara continues. Omer Rav Chisda, Gidud Chamisha u'Mechitza Chamisha, Ein Mitztarfin, Ad Shiehe Okulo b'Mechitza Okulo b'Gidud. So Rav Chisda says that as far as the laws of Rishus HaYochid are concerned, if you had 5 tefachim of height of mound and 5 tefachim of mechitza of fence around the edge of that mound, they do not join up to form a private domain. Rather, if you want to establish a private domain, you'd have to have okulo b'mechitza, that means 10 tefachim of fence around you, okulo b'gidud, or 10 tefachim of drop from edge of mound to the ground level. Dorash Mreimar, gidud chamisha u'mechitza chamisha mitztarfin. Mreimar taught, contrary to Rav Chisda, that they do join up. V'hilchasa mitztarfin, the Gemara itself rules that they are mitzvah, they join up, and you would be on a mound that has a height of 10 of 5 tefachim plus a fence around the edge of the mound enclosing the mound whose height was 5 tefachim, and this mechitza of 5 tefachim, you are contained within a private domain. The halachic ramifications of that, for those who are familiar with Hilchos Shabbos, are quite obvious. That if, let us say, outside this mound was a highway, was a public thoroughfare, you would be prohibited on a Torah level to transfer items from the mound to the public road. Boy Ilfa. Ilfa is a name. He asked a question. Yodayim. Tahiris lechatzoin el ein tahiris lechatzoin. He asked the question, when we deal with purification of hands. Hands in a person's hands in halacha are viewed as tome. It's a rabbinic tuma, and in order to purify them, so we have a process that most of you might be familiar with called netilas yadayim. We pour water over the hands from a cup of water containing a minimum of a revias. A revias is a liquid measure. That's your standard netilas yadayim. There's another method of purifying hands. That would be if you were to, let's say, immerse your hands. There's a concept of tevilas yadayim that also exists. Ra'ul Ilfa is asking about the purification of hands lechatzoyin, in halves. Does that work or not? But what do you mean by purification of hands and hands. What does that mean? And in order to figure out what Ilfa, what is the scenario Ilfa is talking about, before we can render a halachic decision, it's important to know what's the scenario. The diamonds that you see are explained under the mivne heading on the side. Nisyonos, attempts, lahasbir mal she'losa shel Ilfa. What is he even asking about? And as we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice squiggle underlines that appear. Those are dechias hahesber. Those are rejections of whatever hesber was being given, whatever explanation was being given. So now the Gemara, hechi domi. What is Ilfa talking about? What is the case that he's asking about? He asked about tahara lechatzoyin. Ilema dekamoshu beitrei me revius. That you had two people that were using the water in a cup that contained a total of one revius. We mentioned before that the amount of water for Netilas Yadayim was a revius. If you have two people that are going to be washing their hands from that, it comes out then that each person had less than a revius on his hands. Less than a revius of water poured over each one's hands. Is that what Ilfa is asking about? No. For Hotnan, that's already been dealt with. That's been decided already earlier in Mishnayos. It says, Me revius, noitlin liodayim liachot vafilu shnayim. From a cup containing a revius of water, not only one person can wash his hands, but even two people can wash their hands. So, tahara lechatzoyin isn't a case where two people are using one revius. V'yela, so what is Ilfa possibly talking about? The komoshi chado chado yodei. We take a look at the Rashi on the toward the end of the Rashi commentary. The Moshi Chado Yodei Vahodar Moshi Leidoch. The Tosfos Rid explains that he washed one hand, dried it, and then washed the other hand. Is that what Ilfa is asking about? V'hotanan, hanoitel yodoy achas binetila. Person washes with a cup by pouring water over one hand. The achas b'shtifa, and the other hand he immerses in a river that has 40 saw of water. Yodov tahoros, his hands are considered purified. What you see from this source that the purification of hands, each hand is dealt with separately. So, in the case that we explained as well, so he washed one hand, dried it, then washed the other hand, that would be legitimate, that's fine. V'elo, de komoshi palgo, palgo dide. We look at Rashi, palgo, palgo dide, or diode, ad haperek havi mitzvas netila. Washing one's hands involves pouring water over one's hands and the water reaching his wrists. V'notal chatzi hashur tchila. What did he do? He washed half of his hand first, v'nogva, and dried it. V'chozer v'notal chatzi ha'acher, and then he washed the other half of his hand. Is that what Ilfa is asking about? The Gemara continues, v'amri debe rabiane yodayim ein tahoros l'chatzoyin. That does not work. So the Ilfa isn't going to be asking about some well-established information like that. Lo tzricha. No. Ilfa's question is necessary. And his question does refer to a case of washing half of the hand each time. However, he doesn't dry off the first half of the hand before he pours water over the second half of the hand. De'iko mashke toifeach. There is dampness left on the first half of the hand at the point that he pours water over the second half of his hand. The Gemara asks, "V'chi iko mashke toifeach mai havi?" So what? There's dampness. V'hotnan, we have a Tanaic source. We continue at the top of Daf Tes Zayin, and the Tanaic source gets involved with quite a few details in the realm of the taharos of purification. We have to extract from this source a principle, and the principle is that dampness is not considered a method of attachment, of connection. So that if you washed, for our purposes, if you washed half your hand, and then came to wash the second half of the hand, relying on the fact that the first half was still damp, it's not considered as if there's any connection between the first half that was washed and the second half that you're washing now. Maybe in simplistic terms, it's considered as if the first half was completely dried already. And that, we know, is ineffective. So the fact that you're telling me that when you're pouring water over the second half of your hand, while the first half is still damp, that's obviously ineffective. What does the source say? It says, "Hanitzok v'hakatafris u'mashke toifeach eino chibur." Lo l'tuma v'lo l'tara. As far as what these things are, nitzuk has to do with a stream when you're pouring a liquid from, let us say, from a vessel containing things that are tohor, that are pure, into a lower vessel that is tome. We say there's no connection between the tuma in the lower vessel back up the stream, the flow coming from the upper vessel. To suggest that which is in the upper vessel would become defiled, not so. Because nitzuk is not a chibur. Katafris, that has to do with an incline, a slope. And when you have, let us say, some dampness or a flow from an upper part of the slope down to something lower on the slope, it's not considered a connection. We're being very, very superficial right now. This isn't really the focus of our discussion. Rashi gives you far more detail. And the issue of mashke tofeach, that was of concern to us. That does not constitute a connection, not for defilement purposes, nor for purification purposes. So what is Ilfa asking about? Lo tzricha deika toifeach lihatpiach. The first half of the hand is very damp. It's so damp that not only is it wet to the feel, but if you would take, let's say, your fingers that have this level of dampness called toifeach lihatpiach, and he would touch something else, the second item would also become damp. So that's a level of dampness that is called tofech lahatpiach, and if, therefore, you washed half your hand, you didn't dry off the first half of your hand, it was still damp, it was still quite damp, and then you poured water over the second half of your hand, instead of pouring water in one shot, covering the entire hand, but you did it this way, half and then half, while you were pouring over the second half of your hand, the first half was tofech lihat piach. Is that acceptable? That's Ilfa's question. We now have a bracketed section and a note on the side that reads, Hasograim einom l'shem dilug. The purpose of these brackets are not for skipping. Elo laharois shetofech lihat piach nishara hezbil shelas Ilfa. Rather, just to show that this is the end of explaining what was Ilfa's question, but so hasogrein nisun lahakshos. Within the brackets, there's an attempt to question this. Avol hakushya nidchasa. But whatever is raised in the brackets as a question is rejected. The Gemara continues. Therefore, ha nami tanina. If you're going to say that the question of Ula is where the first half of the hand is toifech lat piach, when you are washing the second half, that's already covered by a Tanaic source. It says as follows, Tofeach lahat piach chibur. That's considered an attachment. Well, if that's the case, then Ula's question is no question. It's obviously a kosher way of washing your hands. The first half of the hand is quite damp, so that when you're pouring the water over the second half, then it's considered as if it's one pouring. It's considered attached. The second half of the water poured over the second half, then is considered attached to the first half. That's still very damp, and that would be a legitimate way of washing your hands. The Gemara says, no, to say that this Tanaic source represents an answer to Ilfa's question, making Ilfa's question a non-question, let's put it that way, that's not so. Dilmalinian mikvois, Rabbi Yehudahi. This brief source that says, Tefech Latpiach is a Chibur, that might be true, but only in the case of a mikveh. And we'll explain that just by going on in the Gemara. But once you say that's with regard to the realm of mikvos, but that's not a source that sheds light on the case of washing hands. It's true that this whole discussion is within the general realm of taharos, but nevertheless, mikveh is one topic, netilas yadayim is another topic. So now let's go on in the Gemara. The Gemara, in rejecting the claim that Ilfa's question is made into a non-question by virtue of this source, that's not true. Dilmolinyan mikvos tanav rebuted the snot. Mikveh sheyesh barboim sa mechuvanos. Imagine you had a mikveh, a ritual pool, that has the minimum amount of water, the exact minimum amount to be a source of purification, and that's 40 saw. That's a measure. In this case, it's a liquid measure of the water in the rituarium. You have exactly 40 saw. V'yardu shnai v'tavlu, and two people went into this mikveh for purification. Bozeh acharzeh, one went in, and then the second person went in. Rishon tor, the first person to go in, He enjoys purification. What happened? He went into a mikveh that had the required amount of water. Now, when he comes out of the mikveh, is it not so that he's coming out wet with water from the mikveh? How much water is in the mikveh when the first person exits? A little less than 40 saw. V'hasheni tameh. And as a result of that, the second person who goes into this mikveh remains defiled. He doesn't achieve purification that he was hoping to achieve. Reb Yehuda Omer, im hoyu raglov shel rishon nogos b'mayim. If, as the first person was coming out of the minimum size mikveh, he was climbing out, and his leg was still in the water, was still touching the water. Af hasheni tohor. The second person is going to experience tara, will achieve tara. Why? As far as Rabbi Yehuda's explanation is concerned, the water that's on the first person's body is attached. He's very wet. He's tofeach lahatpiach. He's very wet. And the wetness goes down to his foot, which is still attached to the mikveh. So all the water on the first guy's body is still attached. It's mitzarif to the mikveh. So that the second person going into the mikveh at that point is also enjoying a mikveh of 40 saw, hence able to achieve tara. As far as Netila is concerned, washing of hands, Rashi points out, you might notice we have a little star in the Rashi, we can read that together, Umiu, Linya Netila, Mibayon, regarding washing of hands, the question remains, Ihavya Netila Ketikunu Lechatsoin Oiloi. Is washing the hands in this way, in halves, an acceptable way of washing? That was Ilfa's question, and that remains. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.